coming to you live from inside Morty's bedroom. We really should have not. This is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Oh, those teenage boys, especially when they have a computer in their room, they could be doing anything, Brandon.
Anything.
Just got to be careful.
You know, one of the things I pride myself on in life is not ever having been caught masturbating.
I'm proud of you too. I don't think I. Nope, can't say that I have.
No,
masturbated.
I'm very particular about the time and place, and I like it's.
Lights have to be just right.
Like I watch
the temperature within a tenth of a degree.
I watch Home Alone, Predator, like any movie where they set traps around. So I get.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's what you use for material or something.
Well, yeah. Those big.
Anyway,
you don't. Yeah, okay.
I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon.
Welcome to Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. If you would like to join the conversation, not necessarily this particular conversation, but the Rick and Morty conversation at large, there are plenty of ways you can do that. You can hit us up on Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod, over on our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com, on our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com/rickandmortypodcast, and you can send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Shirts, merch. Brandon, we have our first
bit of
merch for the show. Head over to TeePublic, and if you use the link in our show notes or over on our social media stuff, you can help support this podcast and get a shirt, a sticker, a phone case, a mug, literally anything and everything that TeePublic offers. You can get our new graphic on there and help support the show. So yeah. Head over to TeePublic and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll help us. It'll help us make sure that we manage to pay our bills with hosting and RSS provider.
So. Just somewhat offset the cost of doing the show every week. But yeah, as we do every week, we're excited to talk about more Rick and Morty, even if the show is not back for its third season. We are trying to find new and creative ways to talk about the show, and so we're doing something a little bit different on this episode, a little bit experimental. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do almost like a DVD commentary,
yeah,
of episode one.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
I don't know if it's because like MST3K is back and we've been watching that and we just feel like watching, like talking over somebody else's creative work, but yeah, we're gonna do that. But we want to get through our other main sections of the show first, and then we're gonna put our main thing at the end of the episode. Yeah. So maybe if you're driving in your car or you don't have access to the pilot episode of season one, Rick and Morty, you can still listen to most of the episode and then check it out when we get to that part and fire up the show on your own and then play the podcast with it. We'll see how it works.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, contact us on all those other means and let us know how horrible it was.
We are going to try. And we may in fact fail, but hey, why not give it a shot?
And speaking of why not, it's time for semi-pertinent news. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I like making the transitions that have nothing to do with each other. I don't know. That may become a fixture on the show. So semi-pertinent news. First things first is we were tagged in a tweet on Twitter, and the tweet was from Will Nevin, who wait, okay. Brandon is doing things on camera right now.
What? Sorry.
What's happening?
You're still talking, right?
Yeah, you went away and came back, and you freaked me out. So, but what I'm saying is, Will Nevin tagged us. He did an interview this week, and it was a roundtable with four artists on the Rick and Morty comics. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to read that interview?
There was an interview? Oh, shit. No. You know, yeah, I got a chance to read it. It had Mr. Starks in there, Katie Farina, I believe, and then
Katie Farina, mm-hmm. CJ Cannon, Mark Ellerby,
yes.
and Sarah Grayley.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kyle Starks was not in there. We talked to Kyle.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle's just in everything. He's just everything we talk about.
Yeah, he's writing the show. It's a common mistake to think the guy that's writing the comic might be on there. He's an artist too.
Yeah.
But this was specifically with some of the artists for the comics. But yeah, what were your thoughts on the interview?
Yeah, I always find it fascinating just to hear and read artists and how they translate and their work based off of somebody else's work, which is semi-interesting because that's kind of what we do here.
Semi-pertinent, I guess. Yeah.
What do you think about it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a weird, challenge, I guess, for people to take an existing work and then kind of expand on it. I mean, I don't want to lower it to the means of like fan fiction, but, because they are doing a supportive thing. And like, when we talk to Kyle, he talks about how he feels like he's building the world and the universe of Rick and Morty, beyond what the show is doing.
Yeah.
So it's a supplement to the show, but it continues to kind of dig more into the characters and gives an opportunity to maybe focus on characters or themes that are maybe hinted at or touched on in the show.
Yeah.
But then they can, you know, really dig into those things a little bit more. And so for that reason, I think the comics are a great thing. And the four artists that they have doing them, they all bring their own style to it. They all kind of, there's little differences to how they draw the characters and things like that. But yeah. I think they all still fit into the, overall
aesthetic
way that the aesthetic. Exactly.
Yeah. With Grayley, on Little Spoopy Superstar, like that, the way those characters are much different, from the main Rick and Morty comic. And they talk a little bit about here in the interview just about like the different types of coloring that they do, really the stuff that goes beyond my understanding of art. I'm not an artist, as you know, Travis.
I'm going to dismiss that out of hand. You are an artist. You just created a wonderful cartoon, which you can check out, I think, on our YouTube channel and some other places.
That's semi-pertinent as well. I was going to talk about that. but they talk about coloring and, just the how each one of them brings something unique to it. And I think that's really cool for somebody who was like, primary color is blue, I think, plus red. That equals a shade of purple in some way, shape, or form.
You nailed it. Nailed it. You could. You're well on your way to an art degree. Trust
yeah.
me, I know. One thing in the interview that I found somewhat interesting, and we've talked about comics on other podcasts before. But they bring up the cost of comics.
Yeah.
And they talk about some comic books costing as much as like $4 now an issue, or more. I know some comics are set at $5. So
yeah.
What do you think about the cost of comics in general? Are you still buying comics on a regular basis? I know I've got a pull list that I'm overdue for picking up, and I'm a little bit afraid to see how much it's going to cost me.
No shit. I haven't gone to the comic store in like a month, and I'm actually going to go today after we record because I have a bunch of Rick and Morty comics to pick up in addition to some other random stuff that probably have more Old Man Logan, which I haven't read. So much
Old Man Logan.
I put him back on the
show.
So
much Old Man Logan.
Good
for you.
But, you know, when I started collecting was in the mid-2000s with after DC did Identity Crisis. And then 52 came out. The original 52 came out. And I was, like, collecting each one of those all the time. And then Batman. And those things add up, especially if they're weekly comics. And,
absolutely.
And now I find myself, one, not being as interested in the mainstream comics because the continuity is just all over the place, and I just know that they're going to reset a character and like whatever next year.
Give it a year or two, and they'll be back if they die. Yeah. Or they'll
like Captain
be evil if they were good.
Captain Hydra will be Captain America again. You know,
they'll figure it
in a year's time. But other than that, the cost of it, I think, is a little. It gets a little prohibitive after a while, especially if my wife's like, "Can I actually, you know, buy food this week?" I'm like,
No, we're going to just read about food in the latest edition of this comic book.
Yes. And also I need more protectors and cardboard backs.
Oh, I spent last weekend just filling backs into bags so that I had them ready to put comic books in them.
Nerd.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But they also talk, just last thing about this, they talk about their new comic coming up, the next storyline, which is going to be a Pocket Morty's storyline. Pocket Hey-o. Like you stole it.
Oh, right.
that's what's coming out soon. I'm looking forward to that. As we all know, we all love so many different Mortys.
I'll love us some Mortys. So we're not going to steal all the thunder from this interview.
Thunder.
But definitely highly recommend going and checking out the Will Nevins interview with some of the artists from the Rick and Morty comics. Go check that out.
Yeah. Great job, Will.
Great job. Keep it up.
We're on first name basis.
Yeah. Sure. Speaking of people that are deriving inspiration from Rick and Morty to create something different or unique, I wanted to highlight an individual whose YouTube channel is called Up Is Not Jump. His videos, I think, have shown up on both our subreddit. We've seen them on Twitter quite a bit. But what this guy is doing is he is making videos using Fallout 4, the video game, as his platform.
Mm-hmm.
And he's spending a lot of time recreating episodes and scenes from Rick and Morty using Fallout 4 characters, which is pretty interesting. I don't know. Did you get a chance to watch any of these videos yet? I'm going to put you on the spot.
No, I didn't. The remake that I saw was in Grand Theft Auto 5, where they're driving the spaceship around. No, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I thought, what was I going to say? I just thought it's so damn impressive, and it reminds me how talented people are and how much time people have in order to do awesome stuff like this.
You know, like I sometimes feel like, yeah, we throw together 30, 40 minutes a week to put out one of these episodes, plus any time during the week, you know, collecting information and looking stuff up. But there are people that spend hours and mm-hmm. days and weeks to put together, you know, shot for shot remakes of the show in a not necessarily a very intuitive format, not necessarily a way that is easy to manipulate. So if you haven't checked out Up Is Not Jump's remakes of Rick and Morty, highly recommend going and check those out.
Yeah.
He's got a full episode, a couple of full episodes or something.
Jesus, man.
Or I don't know. Like it's broken up into multiple parts, but and it's also really funny because you're limited with the character models in Fallout 4. So the creative choices that they're making to create some of the characters, it's pretty awesome. So yeah, I definitely recommend going and check out that YouTube channel.
Absolutely. I can tell you, I spent 5 hours on my shitty 30-second cartoon. This guy, right the hell on. The last little bit of semi-pertinent news. This was in the subreddit, and I've seen it a few different other places. There was an article, Rick and Morty is incredibly depressing and doesn't deserve its popularity, by a Philip Bunn over at The Federalist. I'm not sure that you got a chance to read this article, and that's okay, Travis. You don't really need to, but it's basically this gentleman, Philip Bunn. Everyone's been telling him, hey, you need to watch Rick and Morty. It's such a genius show. It's such a great show. And this article is him basically saying, I checked it out. It's not a good show. It's actually really depressing, and there's no point to its nihilism. That's all I really have for the
you're just You're just putting Philip Bunn on blast here on the podcast.
I appreciate what, his.
Did he back it up with any with any reasons? No, why?
It was pretty anecdotal, just from his. I mean, if somebody doesn't like the show, I get it, and I can appreciate that. He wrote a.
They're probably not listening to this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, I mean he wrote a fairly long article, and I can see where he's coming from. I appreciate his opinion. But I think he's missing out. He talks a little bit about how some of the sparks of emotion that come from the show don't last into the next episode necessarily. And I
think that's accurate.
He finds that a bit of a problem.
Yeah. I don't know. I think with Rick and Morty, and just in terms of that point that you bring up, there are, times of sincerity, especially in the relationship between Rick and Morty, where you can see there is a genuine caring from our Rick's point of view for his Morty. But it almost is counter to the typical theme of the show and how their relationship works. So if, yeah, every episode they just became closer and closer until they were best bud, you know,
right.
Grandpa and grandson, like the characters themselves would not maintain who they are, I think, for the show. And it's something that I think the creators have to wrestle with,
yeah.
Where they get the characters into certain situations, and in order for them to continue to make the show the same way or sort of go on the same adventures, they have to remove certain things. And so we can't keep Rick in jail all season three.
Right.
We have to find a way to get him out quickly and reset the show so that, yeah, maybe Jerry's gone, or maybe a couple of things are different, yeah. But for the most part, everything is reset and ready to carry on in the way it has in the first two seasons.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We can't have a Rick and Morty just being so lovey-dovey towards each other, because then you have a doofus
People
Rick.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
What do birds say? That's...
That might be
we're
different.
Shipping.
That might,
we're shipping.
We're
Rick
shipping
and
Rick and Morty. We shouldn't do that. We definitely shouldn't do that. Well, typically this is the.
Okay.
This is the point where we would get into the main thing, and I'd make Brandon sing something. But before we do, because our main thing is gonna get into our DVD commentary sort of thing, let's quickly get through some listener suggestions and shortouts. And the first one comes from the subreddit, and it's sort of a reverse short out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like they were shorting us out on our subreddit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is Reddit user Survivor Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming Sarah is a female. She had a post on the subreddit, that basically just said quick short out. Thanks for the show. She talked about, how she's enjoying it and thanks for the content. But then it spurred on in the comments, after us, thanking her for the support and for listening. It was another user, King Kilter, mm-hmm. who opened up the conversation a little bit about episode recaps and additional content. Brandon, do you want to talk for a second sort of about our history with movie reviews, episode reviews, and, just sort of, cause this is, I mean, for those of you that are maybe new to Rick and Morty or this podcast, this is not our first podcast. We've been doing Apathetic Enthusiasm for a little over pushing almost 3 years now.
Yeah. That's
and,
shoot,
well, yeah, that's crazy to think about, for a second. But we did a lot of movie reviews on there, and we've done a lot of, Netflix rewatches, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so our opinion about, reviewing episodes and things like that has sort of shifted over time.
Yeah.
And plus you do submit it for your approval, which is literally every episode of the podcast is an episode of the Twilight Zone. So
right.
You're kind of, what are your thoughts on doing those sorts of recaps?
So we'll start off with, I'll start with the Twilight Zone one, which is, you know, I bring a different guest on for every show, so we can, for every episode of the original 156 episodes of the Twilight Zone. And so I can have the guest talk about the episode without necessarily going through like a beat by beat synopsis of the show. And I've received feedback about like the earlier episodes of the Submitted for Your Approval, where people will be like, your synopsis goes on for a really, really long time, don't do that. Just get into the discussion of it, just the discussion about it. With Apathetic Enthusiasm, we were doing Netflix rewatches. We do like Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we do RoboCop, or we do all these things.
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd, yeah. And
some normal movies too on occasion. But.
And we felt oftentimes when we were getting into it, maybe this is a laziness thing, I'm not sure, where there was nothing interesting that we were saying. We were basically just repeating the movie.
We're just talking about what happened in the movie and not getting deep into any of why they did it or what our thoughts were about certain things. Yeah.
Right.
So I think we need to find, and this is sort of what the discussion went on in the subreddit, was we need to find a balance. We need to find a happy medium. And for those of you that have listened to our recap of season 3, episode 1, thank you so much. There are a lot of you that have been doing that, and we really appreciate it. And by all means, as season 3 progresses, the reason we made this podcast is to discuss the episodes as they come out and kind of continue that conversation with you guys throughout the week. So we just want to make sure that we're doing it right, that we're not just doing a synopsis of the whole show and sort of rehashing what you already watched. But we also don't want to skim over all of that and only talk about our thoughts on what took place. So
yeah.
we're gonna try to do that. And depending on how much time is between now and the rest of season 3, we will continue to try and maybe find a few episodes where we can do that. And maybe some of the highlights. And then once season 3 is over and we have nothing else to do, I'm sure we can go through all of season 1 and 2.
Yes.
And hit every episode.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Charbis. Absolutely. Before we get into the actual main thing, one last short out, and that's thank you, So Lucid, our friend Kevin.
So Lucid.
On subreddit. He was the first person to snag a t-shirt, an extra large t-shirt. Thank you, So Lucid. You're awesome. And because of you, I don't like
how you assume it's an extra large.
No, I don't assume. I actually looked. It says what kind of shirt. Anyways, we're shorting you out, So Lucid. Great to see you. Hope to see you in Colorado someday. Then we'll go disc golfing because that's what we do. Okay.
High five, So Lucid. All right. It is now time, ladies and gentlemen, for our somewhat experimental main thing.
Main thing. Main thing. That's all. That's why I went out of camera, so I can grab the...
You went and grabbed the banjo. It was so worth it, Brandon. It was so worth it.
Yeah. That's the second time I've been able to use my banjo for something this weekend.
Which I think brings the grand total to 2 times you've ever been actually able to use your banjo.
My parents would be proud of me. They bought it for me when I lived in Arkansas because they thought it'd be funny. They're like, Arkansas, you should have a banjo.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy you have a banjo, Brandon.
Thanks, Travis.
So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna fire up this show real quick. In case you missed it, the last 2 times we talked about it, we're gonna be reviewing the pilot episode, season 1, episode 1, Rick and Morty.
Season one, episode one.
So let's do a countdown.
5. And then 4, 3. Oh, whenever it starts.
Yeah. So, if you start the show, when we start the show, then hopefully this will make sense and you can watch the show along with us.
That's right.
So here we go. Ready? In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
All right.
It's taking time to load.
All right.
It's starting up.
So it's starting. So you got Rick dropping into Morty's bedroom. And my favorite thing about this is that there's zero introduction into the characters. Like, it's just immediately that's super drunk Rick,
yeah,
and Morty. Like, we don't know their relationship. Like, we don't know anything.
Well, the thing I find interesting is this is one of the rare times where we see Morty in not blue pants. He's actually wearing his boxer shorts.
Yes, he has no pants on whatsoever.
Which is good. You know, you're right about the whole, like, just jumping right into it, the thick of things. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like the first time they see the pilot, I think we've talked about this before on the show, the first time they see the pilot, they're like, there's lots of erpings. And I think maybe that's part of maybe why folks don't get into it on the first episode, right? Where they're just like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I've rewatched the pilot several times, and I don't know if I feel like it's the best introduction to the show.
Right.
And I think you appreciate it more once the characters are a little bit more established and you know who they are and their relationships. And if you go back and watch the pilot, I think it kind of adds more to it once you kind of know really what the relationship is.
Yeah. So there right now, Rick just has so many empty bottles of some kind of alcohol, right? And have we
arguably the drunkest he's ever been on the show?
Yes.
Right off the top.
have we ever established what Rick likes to drink? Because he has just so many XX bottles in a spaceship, but
I think there's a lot of internet theories about that.
Oh, really?
As we roll through the title sequence, some people think like his flask actually contains like mega seed juice, and that the power of his intelligence is actually fueled by mega seeds. And but I think it's just booze. I think he probably likes well drinks. He's not picky. He's just, yeah, I'll take the XXX brand of whatever's going to get me hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that. Or maybe some O'Doul's.
He's definitely not drinking non-alcoholic. I'm sure that's not going to happen. So here we go. We're meeting the family for the first time. They're all around the breakfast table. Morty is tired AF.
Yeah, tired. we don't always see them sitting down and eating dinner or breakfast or any kind of meal. A couple times, I guess.
It's established quite a bit in the Brain Parasites episode.
Yeah.
You have the random uncle who's there at breakfast. Even season 3, episode 1, you get the original C-137 family like eating their wild boar stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they're eating.
Right.
around the table. So yeah, I mean it's there. Like there's what's the episode where Rick's talking about how he loves fluffy discs of cake covered in syrup.
Yeah. What's he talking about, Travis? Now what's he talking about?
so Rick is a little against the American education system. He's got some criticisms about the school system. Plus 2 = 4. Got to ask to use the bathroom.
Yeah, you're a public school man, right?
Yes, I grew up in public school. That is correct. I did not have a wacky grandpa that was providing my education. I mean, occasionally,
yeah,
certain summers I did, but I wasn't purely educated by my crazy scientific grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, or now they're in school. They're in school now. Morty really wants Jessica.
So, real quick, can we talk about the fact that the teacher is being like, all right, it's time for math. What's 2 + 2? And everybody's like, 4. And they're doing exactly what Rick was ranting about at the table. Like, exactly. It took me probably 2 or 3 episodes or times of watching this.
I've never actually noticed that.
Yeah, I love that little bit. little bits. Now Morty is fantasizing about Jessica.
Yeah, her little bits,
and a whole lot of numbers.
You know, this is a nightmare for me because a lot of numbers they give me like I get like anxiety with math.
I don't know. I almost wonder if so quickly jumping into this part of the show, this is really like the third scene almost.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if that's like off-putting to people, if they're just like there's absolutely no relationship between him and Jessica. He's just immediately like,
yeah,
grabbing at her little Mortys. But I love the transition to the teacher afterwards.
in a lot of ways, the pilot is a pilot, And it has a lot of pilot-y aspects to it that you think of like, okay, let's get as much information about the characters and the show as we can real quick, right? We're introduced to this bully. And so immediately you're like, oh, okay, now there's his antagonist.
Yeah, but this is the guy that throughout the show is going to, he's really going to cause some trouble for Morty, and it's going to be the real evil here.
Yeah, but it throws that trope on its head, or freezes that trope, and slams it real quick. Same thing with like the Jessica thing, right? Where it's like, okay, that we're going to talk like this, who he's going to fantasize throughout the entire series. And he does.
Jessica, like whenever the plot
is convenient.
Yeah. I think there's probably maybe 4 or 5 episodes that really have anything to do with Jessica at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't do an actual count.
I love Morty, and I hope that Morty loves me. I like to wrap my arms around him and feel him inside me. Okay, St. Equus.
Yep. We've got. We're learning about Beth's job as an equine surgeon.
Yeah.
She's a horse surgeon. She's almost like a real surgeon.
Yeah. We're introduced right away that Jerry is kind of an insecure. Clearly he's insecure that he's interrupting horse surgery.
But we also see that he really doesn't respect Beth or her job in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, I figure you can go to lunch just because, you know, it's just horse surgery. What's the big deal?
Yeah. What I think is interesting is, you know, they're introducing all these kind of like these concepts, right, with Jerry, and then his primary conflict with Rick, and we never see like the retirement home thing again, or why that would, especially based off what we know now after 2 seasons, how that would ever have been a thing to get Rick into a.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because you think about just the fact that Rick stays with the family. I don't think Rick is incapable of getting his own place, and it's not because he's needing, you know, some sort of assisted care from his family. It's really his way of connecting with them and kind of bonding with them. I feel like being a part of their lives. I don't feel like there's any real need for Rick to live with the family other than that. Maybe to be around his Morty shield, but
sorry, got distracted by the alien chasing after Rick and Morty. We gotta go. Run. I've never seen that thing before in my life. We are in a commercial break. Like, we're not commercialing to you guys. We are actually watching this on Adult Swim.
Yeah, on Adult Swim. So they're running ads.
Let's talk about this ad real quick. It's a rock. He's talking about music, the music of resistance, the music of inspiration. The music of
you
purpose.
Have a totally different commercial than me.
Oh, really?
I have a Slim Jim commercial with 2 motorcycle cops.
No, that's the same commercial. The Rock presents Slim Jim music.
Yeah, okay. and now I have a CNN commercial about 9/11.
Nice.
So, oh, and it's The Rock. It's The Rock. Oh, gosh. Okay, now I've got your commercial.
You let
this
me
is,
know.
This is mind blowing.
You know, let me know when you're done with your commercial, because Rick and Morty is back up on my screen. So,
I had to watch 2 commercials. Maybe you pay a bit more for your internets than I do.
Yeah, maybe. Just let me know. Just let me know when it starts up, and I will tell you that I appreciate you, the listener, listening to us.
All right.
Okay, here
we're
it
back.
Is. Okay.
On one of the craziest planets, I think, in the history of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Like, this is easily the weirdest stuff is on this planet. Is there a weirder one?
I don't know if there are. But I just want to say that all the aliens on this planet, I think I read or listened in the actual commentary that they wanted to make as many phallic-shaped items as they could.
Like, mission accomplished.
How many phallic shapes and testicles can we get into a pilot episode?
Yep, those mega seed trees have like sacks on them, like,
yeah,
at the base. I don't know. yep.
Oh my god.
All right.
Should we?
Go ahead.
I just want to say the gravity shoes aspect of it. One of the, I laughed so hard when I saw that for the first time.
You gotta turn him on, Morty. Like, why would he not tell him that right off the bat?
Yeah. Where did I don't know if I read this or heard it, but the joke about like testing out inventions on Morty and like not telling him about a lot of these types of things. Just the creators had a conversation about like, should we keep doing that? There's only, I think they did it in the Snowball episode as well with just testing the Inception machines on them, right?
Oh yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like that aspect, but I don't feel like it should be a crux for the show, like something that they is crux crutch.
Crux, Horcrux, Rick and Morty,
Principal Vagina, no relation. what do you get about the no relation thing? Is that, I mean, is it just obscurity or
like maybe is he referring to another Principal Vagina?
Like, I don't know.
Like, does he?
I never fully got that, but he says it every time he introduces himself. Unless it's just he's saying he has no relation to an actual vagina.
Maybe. I like to think that he has, like, there's somebody in, like, a county next door also named Principal Vagina, or the person's name is Principal Vagina, and so he's...
But he's not related to them.
Right.
He wants to get that out of the way up front.
He's like, my title is Principal, and my last name is Vagina. No relation to Mr. Principal Vagina.
Yes. Quick cut here. We've got Morty... just writhing in pain as both of his legs are severely broken, and back comes Rick out of a portal to fix his legs almost instantaneously. He's not gone that long.
He's not. That was really quick. Yeah. Is there a little bit of time travel there?
That's the thing. Cause
look at that sack. Can I just tell you? Look at that sack. It's a hairy. Clearly, it's a ball sack, like a shorn ball sack.
Rick's explaining the dimension that he visited, and he talks about how much time he was there. So this is like our first bit of time travel in the show. What are your thoughts on time travel within the show, and just like they don't get into too much of it.
Those trees are so veiny. Dude, I'm telling you. Like, look at that. Look, it's a throbbing vein.
Stop looking at the throbbing veiny trees and talk to me about time travel.
I can't help it. The time travel, you know, it's going to be a part of Rick and Morty eventually, especially when it comes to my game that I'm developing with Ubisoft.
Check out last week's podcast for more on that.
It's same reason I think Futurama avoided time travel for so long is it opens up so many other possibilities and, you know, plot holes and you know, whatever the paradoxes, right? Grandfather paradoxes and what have you. So I think they're smart to avoid it as much as they can.
I'm with you. There's been some episodes. There's obviously a box in Rick's garage that says like time travel stuff or whatever. But I'm kind of hoping the show doesn't end with Rick traveling back in time to the beginning of the show. That's the one thing I hope that they avoid. If they want to get in time travel, by all means, but don't like just don't loop the show that way.
Yeah.
So Justin Roiland, Dan Harmon, if you're listening, try to avoid that bit.
Nice callback to the beginning, the memorial for our bully friend. Yeah, the thing about time travel, again, paradoxes, but I think they can do it intelligently in the show. Just like Futurama did, where they couldn't go back in time. They can only go forward in time, and it just repeats.
Mm. Yeah. here's uncomfortable that, Morty. Clearly.
Is that a Dalek? It looks like a large Dalek from Doctor Who.
So this Intergalactic Customs actually has a ton of like nods and Easter eggs in that really wide shot where they have all the like just gray figures down on the floor. There's actually a bunch of nods to other characters in there. I can't name them all offhand, especially seeing as the scene has passed. But there's definitely, I think like the guy with the yellow face is a reference to
Star Wars the Next Generation
with
Captain Kirk.
and these are our first introduction to some Gromflamites.
I think they're called Ferengis.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. No, these are Gromflamites.
our first introduction. Yeah. The next part that I cracked up so much with is the bureaucrats. I don't respect them. It's such an exciting chase. This pilot has everything.
It's got everything.
Ooh, there's another Easter egg to a Total Recall, I think, back there. That guy in the background?
Yeah.
The original Total Recall. Not the one with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
You know,
who we don't respect. He's a bureaucrat.
I do like him in Minority Report, though. Which, I mean, this is a bit of trivia for you, Travis. I'm sure I've told you before. Minority Report was actually originally a sequel to Total Recall.
I did not know that.
Yeah, originally Minority Report was a sequel to Total Recall. There you go. And for the fans out there, Minority Report fans, just take that, live it.
They're not robots, clearly. I like that Rick. So here's
the thing. I didn't notice it until right now, but it's a blue portal. Where does a blue portal go?
Maybe only if they're like officially government sanctioned portals.
Yeah, or maybe it's like a waypoint.
So it switches to green after he gets it activated. Maybe blue is just like when it's just waiting. Yeah. Or something.
Or maybe it's like a toilet.
So here's a question for uh-huh. you.
Yeah.
They have that portal there. They can clearly do interdimensional travel through customs. Why are the Gromflamites trying to interrogate Rick in season 3, episode 1 about how he came up with the portal gun technology?
Well, it has something to do with the blue. Maybe the blue portals is more like either like a Stargate thing or a Mass Effect thing where you have to build these relays all over the place in order to travel between 2 points. Whereas Rick's portal technology is just wherever he wants to go. It doesn't need to have a pre-existing like beacon or whatever in that distant location.
It's possible. Yeah. That or it's just an oversight. One of the two.
Or it just looked cool as a blue portal.
I love the tow truck or the U-Haul here that's called U-Tow.
Yeah.
and there's a picture of a big toe saying I tow. I just a little Easter egg there that I love. We are setting up here the epic scene, the monologue that so many have committed to memory and had tattooed on their lower danglers.
For our anniversary, did I say this on the show before? My wife Chelsea, she got me a card, and then in the card she changed everything that said Rick and Morty to Brandon and Chelsea. She's like, it's you and me, Brandon and Chelsea, 100 years,
www. Brandon and Chelsea. brandonandchelsea.com.
And we're divorced now. So,
oh, that's good while it lasted.
Yeah, it was
not 9 seasons. She just couldn't live without that Szechuan sauce.
Morty is so smart.
So smart. And also severely like reverse cross-eyed.
I don't know how people do that in real life. How like I can get to like one where I look at my nose and then go cross-eyed. But when like somebody like moves one eye independent of the other, that it creeps me out.
Yeah, I can do that now. I didn't realize I was doing it. For a long time, I thought I was just crossing my eyes. And then someone's like, why do you only move one of them? And I was like, oh, apparently I'm lazy on one side, or I've just been crossing my eyes way too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there it is. Time travel stuff right up on the shelf.
There it is.
And once again, Rick saves the day by tricking Jerry into thinking Morty is smart and getting exactly what he wanted out of the whole situation.
Yeah. And they just want, they don't want Morty to do all his schoolwork and tell him, you know, trying to have him be responsible. And Beth and Jerry are nice and happy, and they'll never be happy again based off of all the episodes we've watched. And they're about to do it, I think.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
with the arm punch, like, sure. let's go.
What? Okay, so the infamous monologue is coming up here in a half a second. Maybe it started for you already. It hasn't started for me yet. It's coming up, and all right, here it goes. Do you think that, like, part of it was like, yeah, you know what? Let's not animate anymore. We don't have any more content. The episode's done. Let's just draw this out for another, like, 2 minutes.
Well, like, I think this is one of the best examples within the pilot of Rick breaking the fourth wall, and which has become a staple of his character. But the fact that he's sort of giving this exposition, like, you and me, we're gonna go on lots of adventures, and we're gonna do this, and, you know, 100 years, and, you know, we'll have a website, and we'll have, you know, and this, like, being that it's a pilot, and being if, like, they're making this and not knowing if the show's even gonna get picked up or things like that, like, I love that they're just like, this is how we're gonna end this epic ending. Yeah. And he's just monologuing to a guy that is, like, just dying on the ground. But it's sort of like this, like, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going on adventures. We're going to keep doing the same sorts of things. And it's going to be a great show.
It's going to be great.
And Adult Swim bought it. And they were like, yeah, we think it's going to be a great show too. And yeah, so there it is.
There it is.
The pilot episode.
The pilot episode. The best thing about that is that Justin Roiland sat in front of a microphone for 3 minutes, just going,
just to record the Morty side of it. Yeah, I think so. So, final thoughts on this episode. I think that the adventure that they go on is a little surface level. There's not a whole, I mean, they're going to get mega seeds. We don't know why they need mega seeds. So it's just like, hey, I'm taking my grandson to go get these seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the chase scene and them going through customs and things like that, but it's like really, it's a really basic thing. And I think some of the, adventures to come, are a lot better in sort of the storytelling and the things that they experience and the interactions between different characters and other aliens and things like that. So I think that's maybe why those episodes are a little bit stronger than this one. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is also so rushed, where we're just meeting a surface level version of all of the other characters in the family. We barely get to know Summer at all. Summer really feels like a different character in this episode to me, where she's a little bit more boy crazy.
Yeah.
And a little less self-sufficient like she is as she develops throughout the series. So I think that for those reasons, it's not, you know, my favorite episode. And why it's one of those things where it's like, okay, let's get through it and then keep pressing so we can get to some of the better stuff.
Yeah. And I think Rick is also much more manic in this episode than he ends up being throughout the series.
Yeah. You have that one shot where he, like, goes dead in his eyes and, like, the drool is, like, coming out. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he ever does that again, in the show. I think I just don't see him kind of, like, spacing out completely like that.
Yeah.
He seems a little bit more together, throughout the rest of the series.
That is very true. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening to us listen and watch a show. We don't know how it turned out, honestly, because yeah. I feel like we were so distracted by a show. It's the first time we've ever done that. Holy crap. I don't know how it's going to turn out. So do us a favor, please.
Do us a solid. We need your feedback.
let us know what you thought of that, right? Shoot us on our Twitter, again, at Rick and Morty Pod, or on our Gmail, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up over on our actual website, apathetic enthusiasm.com, blah, blah, blah. Just yeah, let us know.
The subreddit is a great place for an ongoing conversation. We'll have a link to this episode. And if you put in the comments what you thought, we can continue to kind of have the conversation there. So lots of ways.
Tell us how to improve.
We want to know what you think. If you want us to do it again, if you thought it was horrible and we should never try that, let us know. We would definitely appreciate it.
Because we might feel that way as well.
All right, folks. Well, that is our show. And until next week, I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks so much for listening.
Goodbye.